Well, good morning and happy Sabbath, everyone. I also want to welcome the Warren SDA Church this morning as they are joining us through via live stream. In fact, they're probably joining us a little bit more often from this point on. In many ways, we consider the Warren Church our kind of sister church, and they're going through some difficulties right now, but by God's grace, God will bless that church as well. I had prepared a message entitled RULE, and it was an acronym, and I had posted that and shared that with you earlier. But because I realized today's service was going to be quite long, if I stuck to my original message, last night I actually wrote a shorter message so that it will be more, and I think it will be more fitting for considering we had a baby dedication as well. So I wrote a new message entitled Born Again with a question mark. Let's pray. Father God, as we endeavor to study your word, we ask that you will be our teacher this morning, this afternoon. That what we hear may not be my voice, O God, but we pray that what we hear is the voice, your voice speaking through me. Because, Lord, at the end of the day, I am nothing. I am merely a messenger, and I just pray that I can be a faithful messenger. May the Holy Spirit grant me the words to speak, but may the Holy Spirit also bless each one of us here according to your will. We go forward in faith. We pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. So, today's message comes to us from John chapter 3, verses 1 to 3. The year was 2003. I had just finished the seminary at Andrews University, and in order to graduate to seminary, towards the end of your education, you had to do something called field school. Now, field school is basically in the summer, or actually sometimes winter break, they actually have several evangelistic series in which each graduating seminary student has to participate. Not necessarily preach the series, but they had to participate in terms of helping out the program. Usually in the morning, they have some kind of classes where they teach you how to improve your evangelism. In the afternoon, you do like visitations, and in the evenings, where we don't have every other evening, we would have evangelistic meetings. And in the evenings in which we didn't have any meetings, we would do visitations. So, as the evangelism meetings start to progress, we actually got to the point where we need to start visiting some of the attendees. And you know, in the Bible, Jesus sent out like his disciples two by two, so they also sent us two by two. And we met some really, really great people. And one person that sticks out in my mind was I met a elderly black grandmother. And she used to call me baby. And maybe that's just, she did it for everyone, but I kind of felt special that she called me baby. And she was probably she was my favorite person to visit. Her and the family, I think she had her grandkids living with her as well. And every time I went to visit her, it was such a blessing. And even after the evangelism was over, I continued to visit her because she told me, sweetie, or baby, you can visit me whenever you want. And for a while, I did. But there were other times when we did visitations that we had to venture into the city. And it just happened that the city that we were assigned to was the city of Baltimore. Now, if you don't know the city of Baltimore, there are some nice pockets, but there are some really, really shady parts of Baltimore too. And our city was the city of Baltimore. So, and there are times that when we did our visitations, that we had to venture off the beaten paths, out of the tourist areas, and go deep into the city, sometimes East Baltimore and beyond. And back then, considering it was 2003, I didn't have a smartphone, and I had no GPS. So I did it old school. I had a map of Baltimore, and we just try to find our way to that address. And sometimes when we went out, and not even sometimes, oftentimes we would end up in a part of town where there were like abandoned houses, like rows and rows of like boarded up houses, and we couldn't possibly imagine anyone living there. And most of the time we never found those individuals. And there are times where we visit up houses where basically it was also boarded up, but there were other people living there, but clearly it was not the great part of the city. Oftentimes we would go to the address and it didn't exist. And one time we actually ended up in the back of behind a penitentiary. And we have no idea why that address took us to that location, but clearly something went wrong. But my point being is this: we often had to venture into the city where it was unsafe and it was questionable at best. My partner, his name was Mike. And Mike, I got to know Mike pretty well, and he was my partner. And Mike was a white country boy from Georgia. And me, I was a Chinaman from the suburbs of New Jersey. Now, you know that I'm not Chinese. I'm Korean. But as far as the city of Baltimore was concerned, I fit the description. And to make the stereotype worse, you know what I drove? A Japanese-made Toyota Camry. And on top of that, I had a freshly minted Michigan license plate on that brand new Toyota Camry. And I think we were almost advertising with blinking lights, "Tourists, tourists, come and mug us." And as I was thinking about this message, this idiom kind of like came to mind. We stuck out like a fly on a wedding cake. But it was especially when it started to get dark that we started to get worried. In the daytime, we can kind of find ourselves around and we can navigate, but when it started to get dark, then we started to worry a little bit. Now, Mike never expressed the fact that he was worried, and he and I never complained to each other, but we understood the circumstances in which we were faced with. Parts of Baltimore was dangerous enough, but so much more in the night. Nighttime is when the shady people do things when they don't want to be seen. U.S. News and World Reports conducted a survey of 10 major cities, and they discovered that most of the minor crime, actually petty crimes, happened during the daytime. However, the majority of the serious crimes happened between 7 p.m. and 6:59 a.m. And on the weekend, almost all the crimes happened under cover of darkness. I'm going to just pull out my reading from the book of John, chapter 3. John chapter 3, verse 1 and 2 says this: "There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by what? By night, and said to him, 'Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these things no one could do these signs that you do unless God is with him.'" Now, there's two things that we know about Nicodemus right off the bat based on scriptures. One, Nicodemus was a Pharisee. And two, he came by night. Now, Nicodemus wasn't just any old Pharisee. The Bible actually tells us that he was a ruler of the Jews, which meant that he was a member of the powerful ruling body of the Sanhedrin. Do you know that the Sanhedrin only had 70 members? And these 70 members were the most respected, the most influential, most powerful men in that area, in that city. So for Nicodemus to be a part of the Sanhedrin meant that he was influential, that he was powerful, and that he was respected. So we know that Nicodemus wasn't this shady character. Quite the opposite. He was actually a man of good reputation, at least humanly speaking. And do you know he was actually also a pretty wealthy individual? It is said that Nicodemus was so rich, he was so rich that he can feed the entire city of Jerusalem for an entire year with only his wealth alone. By today's standards, he was a billionaire. So why is this billionaire, why is this man of the Sanhedrin, this respected man, visiting Jesus by night? I think the answer is pretty clear. He did not want to be seen. He did not want to jeopardize the reputation he had so worked so hard to build up. And to some degree, I would say that he was embarrassed to be seen with Jesus. I mean, after all, here's Nicodemus, the learned man, the highly educated man, a teacher himself, a man people looked up to, and a man people asked counsel from. And I know what, I'm pretty sure I know what Nicodemus is thinking. What would people think if they saw me with Jesus? Jesus was this lowly, uneducated carpenter, a man considered a heretic by many of the other Jewish leaders. How could a man like Nicodemus be seen with a man like Jesus? How could a man like Nicodemus be seeking an audience with Jesus? So, Nicodemus, he came by night in the cover of darkness. And the Bible says that when he has his conversation with Nicodemus, he starts out with some flattery, right? He goes, Rabbi, meaning teacher, right? We know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with them. So it was flattery. Was it a true statement? Yes, it was. Now, did Nicodemus believe the words that he spoke? I think it would appear so. But this statement was designed to win the confidence of Jesus through flattery. But Jesus didn't need the flattery. In fact, when Jesus has his conversation with Nicodemus, he understands this man, this learned man, this wealthy man, this noble man, he did not walk all this way in the dark just to flatter Jesus, just to give him a compliment. There's no way he walked all this way in the dark just to compliment Jesus. So Jesus gets right to the point. He goes, Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And Nicodemus goes, what? Are you talking to me? How can a man be born again when he is old? Can you not see how old I am? And he says, can a man enter a mother's womb a second time and be born again? Nicodemus cannot believe what Jesus has just said. But despite popular belief, do you know that this concept of being born again was not new to Nicodemus? In fact, the Pharisees themselves used this metaphor often. And the idea of being born again can be found in ancient literature that predates Jesus. So this idea of being born again was not new to Nicodemus. The reason why Nicodemus is so shocked was that Jesus said it to him, a leader, a spiritual leader, a ruler, a member of the Sanhedrin. Jesus says, unless you are born again, Nicodemus, you cannot enter the kingdom. Nicodemus was already a spiritual leader. He was considered an expert in Jewish law, an expert of the Torah. And he was the one who people sought after for spiritual guidance. And Jesus had the nerve to say, Nicodemus, you must be born again. And I think most of us understand the idea of being born again, but it literally means to be born from above. And he was, here he was referring to water baptism and the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And it paints a picture where there's a new beginning, right? To have all your sins washed away, to have surrender your life to God, and to live a new life centered around Jesus. And here's a question that we may need to ask ourselves. How do you know if you are born again? See, Nicodemus thought he was born again, but Jesus clearly didn't see it as such, and Jesus recognized that Nicodemus needed to be born again. But how did Jesus know? Now, you might be thinking, well, Jesus could have read his thought. Well, perhaps that is a possibility. But I can make the case that Jesus did not need to be a mind reader to know why Nicodemus was there by night. The fact that Nicodemus came by night revealed that he was not yet completely convinced of Jesus. Not yet. Nicodemus was not quite ready to show his cards to the world. He wasn't ready to be a disciple, at least not yet. The fact that Nicodemus came by night revealed that he was not yet born again. You know, I grew up a Seventh-day Adventist almost all my life. My parents accepted the faith when I was 6 years old. And as a kid, I loved church. I lived for church. It was something that I looked forward to every week. I don't know if it was more the social aspect of it or just seeing people that I like myself. I don't know, but I love going to church. But somewhere along the line, I changed and I lost that. As a high schooler and during most of my college years, I was embarrassed to be identified as a Seventh-day Adventist Christian. I hid that fact for most of my teenage years. Most of my casual friends didn't even know I was a Christian. And even my closest friends had no idea what I believed except that I went to church on Saturday. You know, as far as I can remember, during my teenage and younger years, I don't think I have ever invited a single person to church. I can't even remember sharing my faith with anyone. I think partly because I wasn't even sure myself why I believed what I believed. You see, my Christianity was lived in the dark because I was embarrassed to be a follower of Jesus. And I think if I reflect back on my life, I may have liked Jesus, but I didn't love Jesus. I liked some of the benefits of following Jesus, but didn't want to make the sacrifices of being a follower of Jesus. The fact that I lived my Christianity in the dark revealed that I was yet to be born of the Spirit and I was not yet born again. And yes, I did try to keep the Sabbath. By the way, I don't like to say it that way. I don't like to say we keep the Sabbath. I like to say we celebrate the Sabbath. Because it is a day of joy. It is a day of celebration. It is a gift that God has given us. But before I accepted Jesus fully into my life, it was a burden. It was like taking medicine that I think I needed. And on Sabbath, I would go to church and I would try to keep the Sabbath and I would try to be a good Christian, at least on the outside. But when the Sabbath was over and outside of the church, I lived a very different life. I lived a very secular life. Someone once said this, character is who you are when no one is watching. I was living my Christianity in the dark. But God is good. God is merciful. And as a college senior, or if I'm going to be accurate, a super college senior, it was my sixth year in college. It took me a while to graduate. I met the real Jesus. And I discovered the power of God's words. 1 Peter 1:23 says this. For you have been born that we are not... Sorry, let me just read it. For you have been born again, not of seed which is perishable, but imperishable, that is, through the living and enduring word of God. And as I studied the Bible, I began to fall in love with Jesus, my Savior. And the truth of God's word was changing me. It was convicting me. And when that happened, I was no longer afraid to share my faith. I was no longer embarrassed to be a Seventh-day Adventist Christian. Did you know that I was a very shy person? On a scale of 1 to 10, I was like a 9.5. Couldn't really look people in the strangers in the face, especially if they're female. I just couldn't do it. But by God's grace, because God's grace is sufficient for us, I overcame that. In fact, whenever God gave me that opportunity, even as a shy early 20s, I would try to share my faith the best way that I could. And I tried to share my testimony of what Jesus has done for me. And you know, the Sabbath no longer became a burden, but a delight. And the so-called sacrifices were not really sacrifices at all. I joyfully gave. I no longer lived a double life. The person that people saw at church was a person at school, at home. My life became more consistent. Now I was a Christian living in the lights, walking in the lights. I was born again. So, friends, I want to ask you this morning, how do you know if you are born again? And I would answer that with another question. Do you walk with Jesus in the darkness or in the lights? Do you have a separate church version of yourself and a non-church version of yourself? Are you embarrassed, like I was, of people finding out that you are Seventh-day Adventist Christian? These are some of the indicators of whether we are walking in the light or in darkness, whether we are born again or we are not. Now, I understand there are parts of the country, in the world that you cannot help but be an underground Christian, right? North Korea, some of the more Muslim countries, like, you kind of have to do that, right? And I understand that because Christianity is forbidden, the Bible studies, the prayers, the worship, the church, most of it happens in secret in those places, whether at night or a secluded place, whatever it is. But these are special circumstances. Would you agree? These are special circumstances. And there may come a time, in fact, I would say there will come a time when we are persecuted for our faith and that we must do similarly to go underground. But currently, we live in a blessed country where we are afforded the freedom of religion that we can practice our faith as we see fit. And the question we ask ourselves is this: like Nicodemus, do we seek Jesus in the darkness or do we walk openly and the lights? The story of Nicodemus actually has an interesting end to it. Interestingly enough, Nicodemus accepted Jesus towards the end of his life, end of Jesus' life, that is. John chapter 19, verse 39 and 40. And Nicodemus, who at first came to Jesus by night, Nicodemus came to prepare the body of Jesus before sundown, before the Sabbath, in the daytime. And he prepared the body of Jesus. Why? Because he was no longer ashamed of Jesus. He didn't care what other people had would think of him. He didn't care what sacrifices that he had to make because to be a follower of Jesus. He was the fact that he walked in the daytime revealed he was now truly born again. Friends, my prayer is this for all of us, that we will each walk in the light. And if any one of us are like Nicodemus, only seeking Jesus in the dark, my prayer is that we too will have an experience like Nicodemus and be born again. Our last verse for today, and this I promise this will be my last statement. Did you know to be born again is not a one-time deal? People often think like it was one moment in time. Yeah, there might be a one moment in time where you can trace back your decision-making process. But do you know, according to scriptures, we must be born again every day. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, 31. I affirm, brothers and sisters, by the boasting in you which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, that I die. If you die daily, what must also happen? You must also be born again. You cannot die to self without being born again daily. So my prayer for each one of us, that each day that we will be born again, and that you and I, each of us, will make Jesus the priority and the focus of our lives each and every single day. May God bless you guys.